Welcome to Life Lab with David Ponder and Zach Schaefer. We are the podcast of Experience Experiments.
We give you those experiments via change challenges at the end of each episode.
We created this podcast because we wanted to talk about important topics that can help us all live meaningful lives.
You might agree with what we have to say, or you might disagree. But the point there is that you get something new to think about.
There's no edits and no gimmicks. Our entire point is to help you take action and live a better life.
You only get one life to live, so you may as well make the most of it. Hello, welcome to Life Lab. You know, I went to a party the other week, and it was a work function. And, you know, it was one of those industry things where everybody's getting together. And the whole time I was there, I felt a little uncomfortable. And then when it was toward the end, I just felt exhausted, you know? And I was like, why? Why do I feel so exhausted at this thing? And always in these things, I always feel tired at the end. And I realized it's because I felt like I was like an actor on a stage, you know? And I just thought to myself, what do I got to do for these and during these things to be more authentic?
Nice. I don't think you can do anything at those things to be more authentic.
You know, what
and
is
if
it?
if you are the one authentic person at a spot where everyone else is not being authentic, then you stick out and you're nonconformist and it's weird.
It is weird. You know, because that's something I recognize. Like your energy, you have to match the energy of everybody else in the room, right?
Or if you want to fit in.
If you want to fit in. But if you have like social awareness, right? And which obviously as an adult you build over time. And so, yeah, you're doing the same thing everybody else is doing. You recognize that, right? And but on the flip side, it would be I have like little fantasies about like, oh, what if I said this? Right? They're making this bullshit small talk. Like, what if I hit them with a real dose of reality? I told them what I really think. You know what I mean?
Yeah. My company just sponsored a professional conference, we'll say. And it was fine. And we're going to land business. And it wasn't a terrible event. It was enjoyable. There were some okay surface level conversations about people's businesses. But it just didn't feel authentic to who I am. And I'll probably never do that again, even though I'm going to make a lot of money from it. And it was good exposure and blah, blah, blah. There's plenty of business reasons. But just how I felt inside, every handshake and forced smile was just like, yeah, you're this is bullshit.
Yeah, it's interesting. So the way that you operate your business, mainly the way that you get your business, often through public speaking, and you can be, you know, obviously you've got the subject matter, it's pre-planned out, but you've thought through how you can be authentic in your speech, in your message delivery, where
I'm lucky with that.
Yeah, we have to. Like in my industry, we have to go to conferences. Yeah, a lot of extemporaneous thinking on your feet, like talking about the buzzwords and the topic of the day that I really don't care about, but we're subject matter experts, so we have to show our expertise. And so, yeah, there's a lot of inauthenticity in those events. So as we started talking about authenticity and the episode that we're going to talk about, that was the first thing that came to my mind. Do you want to talk about the definition?
Yeah. Give us the def.
So it's pretty simple. This one's from Merriam-Webster, and it's basically that authenticity is something that's real or genuine, not copied or false.
I like genuine. I like original. I like essence. One of the best compliments that I get, which really has nothing to do with my work per se, but I view it as a character compliment. And I had a conversation. Hey, this guy wants to get into consulting. Will you mind talking to him? Where's he live? Arizona? Okay, yeah, good. He's not in St. Louis. Sure. And we get on the phone. And he's peppering me with questions, well thought out questions. And I'm being me, and I'm trying to give him authentic answers. And he stops, and he's just like, man, I really appreciate your authentic communication style. And I love getting that. And I get it often because I don't try to give people what would help me. I try to give them what would help them where they're at in their journey.
Yeah.
And that's what most people don't do. They'll compare themselves or want to hear from some mentor, and the mentor's talking about like, oh, yeah, well, here's what you need to do. And they're talking 10 steps down the road. I don't know. I think cursing helps too. Right or wrong, people hear cursing and they think, oh, that's more authentic. That's more real, which is bullshit. But that's there, and there's all kinds of research now done. Oh, you can trust a person. I think all that research is horseshit, personally. But I do cuss, and I bring that in as many situations as I can, because that's just who I am. Right or wrong, I'm a gruff person.
You know, as you're speaking, as you're talking through this, yeah, that's true. Everything you said is true. But something in my mind is saying, yeah, but there's a freedom to be authentic in that way.
Yeah.
That is earned.
Hmm.
Right out of college, going into a business setting, you can't do
that. No, you don't have that freedom. I played the game.
Yeah.
Seduction, the art of seduction.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think we probably all, I know you do and I know I do, and you are to a point now where you have a lot more of that freedom. I have that freedom mainly internally with my team.
Mm-hmm.
As we grow, I'm getting more and more of that freedom. But I don't know. I'm not a solopreneur. The way that we sell and do things, I don't know that I'll ever reach that level.
Well, and your industry is very different. You're focusing on very technical things, risk. There's a lot of diligence and seriousness.
You're right.
I'm dealing with people. There's some levity there, and I can bring in playfulness as a tool to reshape perspectives.
You're right. I still do have moments where I can be a little bit more frank than I would have been when I was younger or not in the position that I'm in. And that's been earned over time.
Like you just gave the example, you cut off the client who was adding a bunch of context to a situation that you had just gotten from your partner that the client had talked to. And instead of giving this client 10 or 15 minutes on the soapbox to fill everybody in on something they already knew, you went in ahead and jumped in and cut them off. That was very authentic. You were true to your instinct. Your instinct was saying, damn it, cut him off. We're wasting his time, our time. An inauthentic person would have just let that person go for fear that it could hurt the sale.
And I think about here, you know what I thought about after that situation? I thought about how that was the right thing to do.
On all levels.
Saved everyone's time, showed him that we already knew his concerns.
We're efficient.
We were definitely more efficient. And then I thought about when I was a staff at Ernst & Young, what if I did that during a meeting with a partner in the room and, you know, the VP of whatever.
It's the right thing to do, but the right thing to do gets trumped by the social hierarchy in politics. That's the problem. And all organizations are human relationships. There's the political level. But then we can think about authenticity there. Some folks are hardwired to be really good political operatives. So it would be inauthentic of them to not be true to that core. I think of like a Trump. What's his authenticity? I don't know. Who knows? But he seems to be pretty damn good at that political operative and media strategy.
Right.
And so like being who you are, staying true to your core. Well, what if your core is just a hollow individual like that? You know, can get gray is my point.
No, I mean, that's really good. I like it. No, but there are some people who can fool themselves into believing things that may not be true, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're being authentic when you know,
like, just not accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. No, that's a good point.
Exactly.
So when I love the best compliment someone can give me, he's authentic, he's genuine. I also like he's original. I think that's a little different than authentic, but for me it ties together there. Like I'd rather do something original in this life that's true to me, authentic to me, then be the best. Yeah, this sucks because I like cover bands, but I would be disappointed if my kids got into music and then just wanted to be cover bands of others. Like that, like create your own song, even if it sucks. Like do something original, make it your own. But that's how I view it.
Music is a good, and I don't want to. A thought came to my mind that can give a little more context there. I think music's a great example of a place where you can be a lot more original. I think about like being an author, and if it's not fiction, or even fiction, man, that's the same story being told over and over again in different ways with its own twist on it. If it's anything that's nonfiction, right, like wisdom, you know, it's been passed down. I wonder if there's something you can say that hadn't been said.
Yeah, there's nothing that we can say that hasn't been. That's something I've always said. That's something that Socrates has thought. It's just like we just put different clothing on all the ideas or take the idea and move it into a new context.
John, my wife's brother, my brother-in-law, who does the artwork for the show, by the way.
Awesome Thank artwork. You, and you got to tap him for more.
Yes, we do. He was criticizing Ryan Holiday and the stoicism, like the Daily Stoic and the Daily Dad and all this stuff. And he was just like, yeah, he's like, it's great. And the way he packages it is good. You can tell he's been in marketing. He's like, but it's just repackaged, you know, stoic philosophy and ideas. And I was just like, well, yeah, but it's so powerful. It's awesome. Like if something is that great, and you can't improve on it, what can you improve? And I was like, I love that I can sign up for his newsletter and get a daily reminder of that. And
of a
like,
powerful so fundamental principle.
So he's improving the delivery of it and the marketing of how it's marketed and sold and stuff. I was like, so I, in my opinion.
He's a stoic marketer.
I was like, it's totally worth it. Like, he has earned that. And John was like, well, I don't
know. But you got to look at the lens that John is looking at it from.
He's creative.
He's a designer. Yep. So if it's not original, it's shit, right. No matter how good it is.
Right.
And I don't agree as hardcore as he does on that. And I understand where he's coming from, that his perspective makes sense. But if I'm judging two things, anything, and it doesn't have to be music, it can really be anything. And one thing has been created from scratch and it's authentic and the other is like a replica, but it's really good. I always gravitate, hey, this thing didn't even exist. It came out of the person's, as you call it, imagination machine, and they brought it into existence. I always value that more.
Yeah, I know. I agree. Or straddling the line on creativity.
Well, Peter Thiel, 0 to 1 or 1 to N. That's the difference. 0 to 1's way harder. I think that's more authentic.
No, I agree. It's funny because I think about this and a lot of controversy can come out of this when it comes to content creation. Like there have been instances of comedians being called out for stealing jokes.
Think how hard that must be nowadays because the content's there. So it's like you want to be aware of your industry and your craft and kind of keep your ear to the ground for what's going on. But by doing that, you might hear something and then want
to – It influences you.
Right.
Yeah.
I think about that and it's just like, well, shit, man. Like if I was a comedian, maybe I wouldn't want to listen to anything anybody's saying just so I can be like, no, man, this was my stuff. And if it sounded like yours, put them together because you can see it wasn't like a direct ripoff.
Yeah. I've heard of instances and I believe that it's true where they're like, look, that joke was out there, but I promise I had not heard it.
Right.
I wrote it.
Right.
From my own mind.
We're going to come up with multiple things. We're looking around here, folks, where there's 8 billion people.
Yeah.
Here's a good – we're talking about examples. Here's an authenticity, and you were talking about where people are in their lives and how authentic they feel they can be. We're both at a spot where we can be pretty authentic, definitely around business situations. I had – we'll call him Ace. Ace is it was an insurance guy, and I had called him. I knew him from where we live to get an insurance quote last year. All of our insurance, it's a pretty good amount of insurance. That'd be a nice bump for him on a monthly basis. And he gets me the numbers, and not only is it not cheaper, it's like $1,000 more than what I'm paying now. So it's just the opposite of what I'm doing. So I gave him a really well thought out email in response instead of just being like, "Nah, you're a commodity. See ya." He just never even gets back to me, never even responds. So I'm just like, okay, I see how Ace does business. Fast forward to a month ago, Ace contacts me, and I see it's a Northwestern Mutual email address, and I know their business model. And I was just like, huh, okay. And Zach Jaffer, how's it going? I want to get together, this and that, because I called them. And, you know, I switched gigs and I jumped in and cut him off. I said, yeah, I saw you're with NMW. That's congrats. That's awesome. I just want to beat you to the chase. I have no needs in terms of finances. I'm like, I'm totally set. I got a team. And you could tell he was kind of like off guard. Like, oh, well, yeah, great. Well, let's catch up anyway. Just catch up, see how things are going. In my mind, I'm like, don't go. This is a waste of time. Okay, fine. So we meet up. Yesterday, 2 days ago.
That's the twist. That's a plot twist I didn't expect.
I was just like, okay, I'll meet up with him. Because he's in the area here, and he's a nice guy. So I figured, yeah, we'll just talk pandemic, Webster, whatever. He shows up. Hey, how's it going? Hey, just so you know, I'm going to have another guy that's going to be meeting us here. He has a lot of specialty with working with business owners. Again, no pressure. We're not here to sell. That's the first thing he tells me. So either A, he doesn't know that saying I'm not here to sell is trying to sell me. He's just not a good salesman at this point. And so his buddy comes. And so then I went into defensive mode. And it was just like, okay, don't be an asshole. But don't let these people waste your time. If it gets to the point, I will just get up and be like, okay, guys, I got to run. Sorry, this wasn't what we agreed to. But I didn't have to get to that point. So my point is, I was very authentic and guarded my time because he was not forthcoming and transparent about the meeting. He lied about the meeting, what the purpose of the meeting was. So then instead of just being an asshole, I said, I'm going to flip it. I'm going to try to extract as much knowledge from this guy as possible and see what his company thinks about digital assets and Bitcoin. So then I just start peppering them about all sorts of in-depth questions about crypto, how you advise your people with crypto, what they know about crypto. Do they hodl crypto? Do they know about cost basis, stepping right. up? All these questions.
Right, I like it.
And then,
good tactic.
And then they started to flip it to my business, and I was just like, look, I got to be honest. Do you know what palliative care is? And the one guy's like, yeah, it's like team-based medical care. I'm like, yeah, that's what I've done in my life financially. I have a tax accountant and an accountant and a CFP. Between those people, I've known them 80 years. My CFP babysits my kids. I'm like, so your company is all about trust. I'm like, guys, there's nothing you can do to build trust more than I have with these people. And I peppered them, and then I told them, you know, I'm basically financially independent, blah, 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 blah. The power shift in this meeting was so awesome. And I liked the one guy. He was nice and actually brought some value. But the guy who fucking lied to me and about the purpose of the meeting, he didn't know shit because he's just transitioning in.
Right.
And my power play, I guess, was I want you to know. I not only know more about crypto than you. I probably know more about finance than you. So he recommended a book. I got it shipped to me in Amazon in one day, and I'm already halfway through it. And I'm going to ping him again and be like, yeah, I read The Power of Zero.
I read your book.
So that's where my competitiveness and power play comes in. But that's me. I'm being authentic to me. It's like, you wasted my time. Now I'm going to show you, you don't know shit about your own industry.
Dude, you are so competitive. That is nuts. Because I was just thinking about myself, and I would have executed right off the bat that, look, guys, this is not what we decided on. Mm-hmm. I'm out of here. Because, mm-hmm. Oh, man, it's funny, like, knowing your authentic self is something, right? Like, cause, okay, so that's a topic that I think is really powerful for me, that rings to me, is the ability to have the freedom to do that. So in that situation, you knew there was nothing that you could gain from them.
Yeah.
They only had something that they could gain from you. And you're like, all right, guys, I'm taking the power back, right? Mm. And so that's a situation where it's clear that you can be your own authentic self. And then the question just becomes, do you be an asshole about it?
Yeah.
Or can you do it in a way that is clever enough to be authentic, to show them the real situation? Like, open up the curtain and be like, hey, you guys, I see that you're just the man behind the curtain. Yeah. You're just a short dude pulling strings.
Yeah, they asked specific financial questions, and I gave them honest answers, fully honest. And I was just like, I don't need you guys.
Right.
Like,
so you just exposed that you were aware of what was going on.
But like what you said, I had nothing to gain from them, but that was the mindset I had to shift because I started to feel the tightness inside, like, this motherfucker lied, dude. It is a business meeting. And so I'm like, well, what can I extract? It totally became transactional, but then it became fun because then the competitiveness and the guy that he brought knew his stuff. Like, he was a good certified financial planner and was cool, young. I wanted the guy that set the meeting to know where he's at in his career, which is bad. You know, that's the power play, but whatever. I'm not perfect.
And that's where I'm going with this, right? Is like understanding the power dynamics of the situation at play and then determining your authenticity, your ability to be authentic there, right? So like if you were meeting with Mark Cuban in that situation,
oh yeah,
it'd be a completely different power dynamic.
I wouldn't have felt the way I felt in that moment, I'll tell you that.
No way you'd be, even though you probably do know a little more than him in an area or
certain
two.
Area, yeah.
It's not like,
of course I do.
Flip around
no.
I'm exposing Mark Cuban.
Right, no, I'd just be peppering him the same way, but to learn more from him.
Exactly. And so
that's my I think that's my point is, as you are young, when you are young and you're just growing up and you're in school, you are never in the power situation. It's just not the way that life is.
And in the powerful situation. You're always right. enveloped in power relationships, right. but you don't feel powerful potentially.
You never have. I mean, and you're trying to learn who you are. What is the authentic me? Yada, yada, yada. And then as you become a young adult, you feel like you've got yourself developed and you know who you are and you want to be authentic. But again, you're always in the, you know, the less powerful chair in the transactions that you're taking in 90% of the time, unless you're dealing with like friends or people who are younger than you. If you are at school, you're at college, you're dealing with a professor, they're the ones who have the power. And you are limited in your ability to be authentic because you have something you need. You need a grade from them. You need you obviously
there's a transaction, right, that you're trying to extract.
Yeah.
It's all about – if you know your life's task, kind of what we were talking about prior to hitting record here, if you know, if you feel you have a calling, a vocation, a life's task, your purpose, and you pursue it regardless of money, fame, social status, what your parents or your close friends say you should or shouldn't do, you have real power then. Because there's not much that can – you're going after what's true, what you feel is true to you. And as long as it's not like, you know, slaughtering the innocent or something terrible, you've got some real freedom and power there that other people really can't even understand.
So I think what you're saying is there's a couple ways to get the freedom to be authentic. One is by becoming monetarily free, which I think is the route that most people take, right? They're like, look, I'll do whatever – till I get to a position of monetary power, which then comes with it real power, political power, whatever. You get enough money, guess what?
That's the Scarface route.
Yeah. yeah.
You get the money, you then get, you the, get power. The power. You get the yes. power, you get the girl. Exactly. But you're not happy the whole time you're
no.
doing it.
No, 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 no. You get the ability to be authentic in the end, but it's a grind of a route. You have to be super fake and bow to everyone and play these games for a decade or more until you get to a position of anything where you actually have any power and can be authentic. And I'm not going to lie and say that that's not the route I took.
Well, of course. We're taking it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so – but I think what you're saying is something that's real powerful for any young person listening, which is if you know your values and you don't have to play that game. You can just – prioritize your values accordingly, and if anything is outside of the scope of the path that you choose, you can be authentic and say, I don't care about this.
I agree. I have to have a small disagreement. That's a very big disagreement, but I think I'm picking up what you were putting down when you say you got to know your values and prioritize them. I think that's partially right, but mostly wrong.
Okay.
You have to live your values, yeah. knowing your values and prioritizing them, having them up on your wall and writing them in your journal. That's easy.
Okay.
Living the values yeah. is the hard part. But I think that's what you were saying.
Yeah,
that's what you meant.
Prioritizing them through your behavior.
There you go. So that's the key. But life sucks it out of us, man. Like we get disconnected from what we could call our authentic self or what Robert Greene, the 48 Laws of Power, Mastery. I'm rereading Mastery. He talks about primal connections, your primal, what's he call it, inclivities. He uses some fancy word. The point is when we're young, things light us up. Things bring us joy. Things bring us focus. Things bring us the ability to concentrate and be in the zone, and time flies by. And over time, we just get all these layers and expectations that disconnect us from what I would label our authentic self. And then what we're talking about and trying to do with Life Lab is reconnect to it and not just help you all do it, but we get joy out of doing this. Like this makes our day. It's one of the best things I do every week.
100%.
And it's that authentic self. So the book Mastery is all about trying to give you a formula to reconnect, to find that, to extract that authentic self, because it's there. No matter how long we've repressed it or forgot about it, it's there. And it's truly going back and connecting. Step one is to the childhood, to the things that brought you joy and where you could concentrate. And anyway, if that kind of stuff interests you and you feel like you're in that grind, you feel like you almost feel depressed, even though you have more money, a bigger house, more things, fancy dinners, all that shit, but there's some weird feeling.
The inability to feel joy.
Internally gnawing at you.
Excitement.
Depression, lack of that stuff. Everything is dull. Yeah. You're alienated from your creativity. You're alienated from your authentic self because you're doing what Dave talked about earlier, and many of us do it. We're grinding to make money to then get to that stage of joy or authentic self later at the expense of the process and the journey. And that's the opposite of Life Lab. That's the opposite of Stoicism, which are principles that Dave and I both believe in and try to live by. It's just, but man, life is all about just throwing you these obstacles. The herd wants to distract you from being too authentic to just be more like the herd.
Yeah, I'll use the word enlightened. There are some people who, so I, every once in a while, will feel a sense of enlightenment. Okay. So let's say I go out to the country and we're looking at the stars and it just hits me how big the universe is and how meaningless and insignificant all the troubles that I have are. I'm worried about some delivering some project on time for a client or some sort of weird, you know, situation at work. And all of a sudden, it hits me, like our entire civilization is nothing. We're just a twinkle in this little star, you know, and then it's gone. Billions of years, all nothing. And then all that weight just melts away. And in that moment, I feel like, oh my gosh, I kind of feel like I've connected with my true self, like the bigger me, you know? And then inevitably disappears. It fades. And so throughout my life, I have times of enlightenment. And I think enlightenment like that comes on a spectrum where some days it's just, I feel a little bit more connected to like my true calling, like what I can do for a vocation that would be a more fulfilling versus, you know, it's not that I'm totally enlightened about the universe and everything. It's more on a lower scale. What I'm getting to is this, is that I think there are some people who keep a lower level of that enlightenment when it comes to their vocation, who they truly are, and they keep a better connection to it. And it allows them to forego a lot of the bullshit that we're talking about that we have gone through to be able to get to a position of somewhat of freedom to be our authentic selves in the situations that we have, you know, via attainment of money, power, stature, quote unquote success, right? There are some people who realize I don't want other people's version of success and whatever, and then they are more authentic to themselves. They know they want to be a school teacher, and they want to be the best school teacher they could be.
A nurse, just whatever. It doesn't matter the profession.
Yes, and you know, I'll use a great example of someone who I think has this, who gets every time I talk to him, he's excited about what he's doing, and he has to tell me all about it. And that's our friend Matt Wandling. Hmm. Every time I talk to him, he's got some new thing, this new teaching technique that he's learned, and he talks about how he's, you know, working his daughter through it, and he lights up. His eyes get so big. And I love you, Matt, man. I like it's I have to like try to get myself amped up to show him that I like, oh yeah, I get it, man. Yes, this is awesome.
Yeah, he loves it.
But deep down it's like, man, I wish I felt that for the work that I do, because he just has it naturally, and it doesn't need to come from a result of money or power or fame or recognition or anything.
He's doing what he likes to do.
Genuinely connects.
When you were talking about connecting to nature and the stars, you called it enlightenment, which I agree and like. I like awe. It's just a sense of awe, and I like the phrase right-sizing. You're just right-sizing yourself. You're right-sizing your problems. You're saying that they're insignificant. But in America, we want to hoard. Capitalism just means more. More. Hoard it. Hoard. Hoard and more. So we want enlightenment and we want to hoard it. I want to buy it. I want to stockpile it. I want to build a new room for it in my house. And I want to shove it full of my fucking enlightenment and just hold it there. And that's not how enlightenment works. Enlightenment's like grass. And I'm real familiar with that because mine keeps growing and dying every year. But that's enlightenment. It's a process. It has to be mowed, maintained, nurtured, fertilized, weeded. It's hard work. That's why most people aren't enlightened. Because it takes work to get there and then to recognize it. So if it was there all the time, that wouldn't be enlightenment.
No. It's almost like life. layers this stuff onto you that is, it's not that it's not in line with your authentic self, but it almost like dulls your bright light. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like these layers get put on top of your bright light and you just get a little more dull and a little more dull, and like your authentic self stops shining through. And only by doing what you're talking about, right? Like self-awareness, understanding that you got to strip these things away, will you ever be able to really reconnect with that deep inside authentic you? It's something.
Well, I also think that different people, different strokes for different folks. I think some people have that authentic self, which we've kept saying self. I view it more as authentic selves personally. Now we can split hairs great. And that's more that's academic. Great. But, you know, I am someone because my calling or core is connection to other humans, connecting and that relationship building, sharing. I'm a teacher. I like to share knowledge, and it doesn't have to just be teacher-student setting. That can be anywhere. But the problem is I'm adaptable. So, like, I'm going to go speak to the Association of Corporate Growth soon, and I'm going to be able to connect with these people, and they do mergers and acquisitions deal, and they're all going to be wearing 3-piece buttoned up custom tailored suits. And guess what? I'm down with that. That's cool. And then I can go hang out with the guy that I just had coffee with yesterday, who works the suicide line, who makes $16 an hour, who doesn't even have a car, who rides a bike all year round.
Talk about authentic, right?
And authentic there, you know, it's just like, now people would then be like, oh, those other people aren't being authentic. It's like, well, that's easy to say, but we don't know. My point is, my authentic self is the adaptable person. I want to be able to work and be around as many different groups of people and be comfortable around them and have them be comfortable around me. Because I can learn. I think I'm much – maybe my most authentic self is just my thirst to learn. Because – and I think I can do that better than a lot of people. Not because I'm smarter, but because I can get along with people. So there ain't a group of people really that I can't be around. And while I'm around, I'm sure the surface level talk might be whatever. But I'm learning. I am learning from them. And it might be shit like, oh, God, I'll never have this belief or I'll never act like that. But a lot of people aren't able to do that because they don't want to connect. Yeah. With too many different types of people.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's a superpower of yours is your connection. And so to have the awareness that's what you're taking out of some of your – that's one thing that you're taking
out.
Well,
you can always just shift to learn mode. It's like, yeah. Look, I don't have to like value what these people are doing, but I can sure learn more and want to understand it. So then even if I disagree, I at least know why I disagree.
No, that's awesome. That is totally awesome.
I think that's a lot of people that – have a joy of learning, totally disconnected from school here and education. Just the idea, I want to, it's capitalism, but for knowledge, more. Right. Give me more, understand. I want to understand.
Yeah. No, I like that. You know, one of the things that you talked about that gave me an idea that I really like is the idea of our authentic selves. And then what came to me was, what about over time? Because my authentic me today is different than the authentic me of years ago. And, staying in touch with that and letting it evolve, but also like directing its evolution, you know, like, because if you don't, you are going to change over time, right? And if you don't.
And stay the same.
Yes, exactly. If you aren't self-aware and if you aren't directing and thinking and whatever, you will change in ways that you may not want to. Your authentic self might become something that you don't like. You know what I mean? But it might still be your authentic self. Or at least, you know, the younger you, looking into the future, wouldn't have liked it. You know? There's mm-hmm. always that really good what's the movie? The Christmas Carol? Is that the one where he goes the Ghost of Christmas Past?
Yeah.
He gets to, like, view his
Charles
life.
Dickens.
He gets to view his life and see how far he's come. And I think that's what they're trying to say. They're trying to say, look, this is the authentic you. When you were a boy, you had these hopes and dreams and blah, blah, blah.
It's Citizen Kane. That's a real clear example. Okay. He starts off as very idealistic. He writes his manifesto of here's the things that I'll always live by. And then later in the movie, he burns it and he becomes just the opposite. And then his dying word is Rosebud, the connection to that boyhood. That to me, when you were saying our authentic, we change. I'm like, no, I don't think we do. I do think we do, so I don't want to say that. We evolve, but there's always a core and a nugget there.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to be aware and allow the changes. And at the same time, It's like a building. The foundation is there, but it gets hidden because you build all of the different levels on top of it. But the foundation is still there.
Yeah. All of your relationships, all of the characters. The characters. That's mm-hmm. You know, that's something we didn't talk about.
Mm.
We play roles. We play these characters, right?
And oh, yeah.
Whether they are or are not in alignment with that inner nugget that you talked about, what I called like the light that gets dimmed as the layers get put on it.
I like that metaphor.
Those are like the characters that you play, the responsibilities you gain, the masks you have to wear, you know? Like, and then you can lose touch with your – like in Citizen Kane, that what you were talking about, perfect example. Took him being on his deathbed to realize
Charles Foster Kane. Well, what's your authentic self when you're around us? So, because people that subscribe to social identity theory, they say there is no authentic self. That's a myth propagated by probably, you know, white patriarchal society to oppress everyone. But my point is, when you're with someone else that you feel you have trust and love with, like me, coming over to our house, your family comes over. Is there a front? Is there a performance? Are you thinking through things at all? Because I know
Are
when
you talking
I
with me?
I'm asking you, I'm not being rhetorical. Like when we go to your house, I just am what I am. Like there's no censoring, there's no layering, there's no radar. I talk about whatever I want to talk about in any way I want to talk about it. The only thing I might do is watch my cursing a little bit around your kids.
Yeah, I'm thinking hard about that because I want to say no. I want to say no. I am my true, authentic self around you. But to be honest with you, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ever my truly authentic self around anyone.
Well, that's the point that they make is that there isn't that. And even when you're by yourself, it's layered on top of social expectations and norms and who you should be and what you should be. And that all ties into the whole transgender thing going on now and identity politics.
Okay, so...
It gets deep, though.
So I think there's something there. And that's what I'm saying. I think there's something there. So whenever I'm by myself, and I would imagine I'm not strange or alone in this. Sometimes, like, I imagine someone is watching me or an audience is watching me, right? And that dictates my behavior even when I'm by myself. To say, like, if someone was watching me, what would I want? I don't – what if it's my deceased people? What if there is another world in which consciousness goes and everyone I've ever known who's dead can see me and observe what I'm doing now? You know, that's a thought I have.
Interesting.
Or if when we die, we get to look back on things, right? Like there's some sort of cosmic record of this. Like how am I behaving now and what would I want it to be? And I think that's like a layer of myself that I do that naturally. Like I, so is that – am I being
– Is it?
Am I being
– Is it natural or is it also you can tie to the Catholic Church and God's watching and conscience and there's a lot of – we don't know.
Well, and I asked myself a question during that time, which is like, what if it's just me? What if it's the Christmas Carol thing and it's me looking back on myself? Will I have wanted myself to behave in this manner or will I be ashamed of this? Right. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't – I mean –
As Gary said at the end of my book
– What's authentic?
Will you high-five yourself in the mirror? That's just integrity. Integrity is acting the way you think you should act when no one's watching.
Right. And I think the point I'm trying to make, though, is like, well, if I do that, right, what's my, like, gut? What would my nature be versus me remembering my values and sticking with having integrity to try to be true to myself? You get what I'm saying?
Okay, here's one. So you gave as honest answer as you could. I thought more about if what I might change my performance if I'm around you guys. I do have something. Where we're at in our careers and my competitiveness, I naturally like to bring things up in a way that is kind of competitive with folks, even with my closest friends. I don't do that with you as much on purpose because I know where you're at, you know, and I don't want to try to make you feel bad or guilt you. So I turn that down a little where I could turn it. Whereas like with Gary, oh, you pussy. You're just at work all day. Oh, 8 hours. How's that feel? Working for like just
totally
I don't.
Different dynamic, right?
Right. Because we do that. But that is one area where I do turn that down a little bit.
Authenticity to your relationship.
Yeah, right. Because that was never really our relationship.
Right. We've never been like that.
Yeah, and clearly we talk about all that.
If anything, you've – like our relationship is that you've pumped me up throughout time. You know, I can remember as kids,
you encouraging me to do things that, you know, I don't know, play basketball or whatever. Like, generally, you were the one who was like coming up with some idea and being like, we should do this, and then pumping me up to do it. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, all right, fine,
yeah,
let's
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was much more relaxed and laid back and just happy with whatever.
Well, you just had some more time, too. Yeah. I think that I can talk you into doing a lot. Or a lot of people, really.
Yeah.
I get that energy. But that's the thing with me is my authentic self. I haven't found, outside of connecting with humans, that is the thing. Because I'm looking. I'm searching for, like, what's my occupational identity? What's my professional calling? I'll keep seeking. I don't think I have a professional calling. Mine is a relational calling.
Yeah.
And I just have to be okay with that. And I think that's just my cross to bear.
You know that that's your authentic self. Because I think about, like, the situation that I just talked about. I'm like, okay, well, as kids, what would that have looked like? It would have been like when Zach was like, I want to play basketball. I'd have been like, no, I'm going to go play street hockey with Brandon Hudges. Then you would have, like, stood on the side and, like, heckled me and been like – and then the next time we played basketball, told me how bad I suck because I'm wasting my time playing street hockey. If that's you, that would have been you. You know what I mean?
Good.
And so it's the same.
Dude, if you would have just not played street hockey last year, we could have been working on head fights. And...
Well, and I'm just telling you. So my authentic self was to be like, Zach wants to play basketball. Fine, let's go play basketball. You know
I'll
what
just
I mean?
Cut out all the bullshit he'll throw my way.
Exactly.
And then, oh, that's funny.
And so that's I think it's really similar today. Gary is like, no, I'm going to go play street hockey.
And oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, and he'd play it and have a middle finger up at me the whole time.
And so you're sitting there heckling him, like, oh, how you like going to the office?
And he he likes that and uses it as fuel. Right. And so, like, that, yeah, you're right. Our relational dynamics are just different there.
Right. So it is authentic.
Mm-hmm.
It is authentic. Nice. I guess that's what I was getting at, was like, no, I don't put on a front in front of you.
I didn't think you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just asking to be curious.
Yeah. But, like, I also don't just, like, gut react and spew whatever comes to my mind out of my mouth.
Well, of course not. That's, you know, now we can.
There are people who do.
We can
that.
Be much more transparent, I think, right. with each other on all levels. But, you know, we still need to be careful or considerate of how we voice things,
yeah.
especially when it comes to, you know, relationships, being husband, wife, parenting, and things like that.
Thought. So, like, as we've become adults, we've learned how to be social, and we've learned how to manipulate our environment a little bit more and get what we want. And so, yeah, like, my authentic self, I still run it through that filter. When we were kids, we didn't. And we would have way more conflict because of it, you know? Like, we'd hit each other, you know? Like, things would escalate quickly. I would just stream of thought it right at you, and you'd get pissed and vice versa. And we've learned not to do that. That doesn't mean that we're inauthentic. It just means that we've become socially adept.
Mm-hmm.
I watch kids, and kids are, I would assume, being their authentic self out of just lack of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to watch.
Well, and then you get with the parenting side, it's like, how authentic should I let my kid be if he or she is causing chaos either in my house or out in public,
right?
And yeah, so it's interesting.
Yeah, so there's a part of authenticity that it's like you need to be authentic, but like a wise person has allowed the stream of life to wear their rough edges, where there
right.
I think there are some people who they just keep those rough edges,
right? Well, how authentic or how much should we value Ted Bundy's authenticity? You know, like, obviously, folks, we're not saying be original in all ways or authentic. If you're a psychopath,
right.
I don't
right.
value your authenticity.
Right.
You know, yeah. but he's stuck to his knitting. He yeah. did what he did. He did what he knew.
It's interesting. I wanted to punch her in the face.
Yeah.
What? I'm being my authentic me.
Right. So you can obviously overstep the things we're talking about.
Yeah.
I think the majority of what we've discussed is how we disconnect from our authentic self unconsciously. We don't even know we're doing it over life because we just – our species is so fucking social. We just – oh, I have to choose something to study. I have to choose my box for my career. I have to choose the right career progression line. And it's all made up. That's all made up. And nobody even knows why it's made up.
It's just silliness. Like,
it's something that definitely isn't authentic to us, because I would assume if you did some experiment where you took us out of the society that we have, we, it's not like you as an individual would come back to, oh, I'm gonna create IT risk and security. That's the authentic me. No, clearly not. It's borrowed, or it's it's something
that's a means to an end.
Yeah, it's something that I've adapted in society, and that this is now a part of me.
Right. Right. And there are things that's with my business. There's several engagements and activities I get to do that are my authentic self. Speaking with groups, working with teams, do anything related to conflict management, talking about leadership, which is all about how do I build relationships and trust with others. But there's plenty of things that aren't, like all the assessment work and just some of the conversations we have to have around that. It's not interesting or meaningful to me, but pays the bills, and it's decently enjoyable. It's not like I'm dreading it by any means.
Yeah.
But that's life.
That is life.
Just, it doesn't mean because you have to do certain things, like everything should be pleasant and joyful, that, like, again, then you wouldn't appreciate it. You can't appreciate the sweet without the bitter.
You know, I haven't said it in a while, so I'll bring
Viktor Frankl.
Yes. Because I think that's what we're dancing around here, is like stuff happens to you and then you get to process it and you get to determine what your response is going to be. And that's where you get to decide if you're going to be authentic to yourself or not. I really think that's true.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
And now what that means is up to you. Like, what authentic to you is, you get to make that decision, right? When you're a kid, being authentic to you might mean that you have rough edges, that you hit someone or you say something mean. Kids are mean. Why? Because
they're unfiltered.
They're unfiltered. And I mean, they're being authentic to them.
But they're being authentic to the animals that we are. There's aggressiveness on a scale in our species, and we use politeness norms and social expectations to repress all of that, or to stamp it out, or to whatever, act like we don't have it, but it's there.
Right, exactly. But then over time we learn, right? And then our authentic selves evolves, right? So they can be socially adept, and they can be kind, right, and still be authentic. And that's just something that evolves over time. But it's in that moment where, you know, you get to choose your response to the situation, where you get to decide, am I going to behave in a way that's authentic to myself or not? And there's a lot of things, a lot of context going back to the beginning of our episode. There's a lot of context, right? If I'm at a conference, a business conference, what is the context here of me being authentic to myself? Well, if I really think about it, I can still be authentic to myself. It's just a lot of there's just a lot of context that I'm being authentic within, where my true self deep down under all those layers probably wouldn't even want to be in that situation in the first place, right? So they're just, I feel like there's levels of authenticity.
Let's go and poke some holes in some things we have. Yeah. What about OWMs?
Old white men?
The old white men who they just – whatever, they're all over the place, and we will be them someday. So that's why we can talk about this.
Yeah, if we're not them
people,
already.
they know what they want, and they have they come off real gruff and unopen to new experiences. But what if that's them just being authentic to who they are?
Yeah,
you know, it's like we got to go both ways, and it can't just all be creativity and happiness and joy. And it's also like, yeah, well, what if I'm just kind of an asshole and I don't care about other people and relationships aren't important to me? I have to deny my authentic self? No, no, no.
Oh, you know what I'll say? I'll say no. Like, you can be authentic in that way, but if that's the – listening to Life Lab, like, go back through all of our episodes and think about the things that we talk about, right? We talk about justice and honesty and happiness and love. And if your authentic you reacts in that way that you're an asshole, well, then sure, that's your authentic you. But I'll just say you're devoid of a lot of shit.
Of love, yeah.
You're devoid of wisdom.
Sure.
In my opinion.
Well, we could go down a whole philosophical rabbit hole about good and evil, or just the continuum of that. But I do believe there are plenty of people, if you look at the look at life as a spectrum, as a continuum, there are people towards what you can call whatever, the evil side, the immoral side, 100% there are. And so then it's just like, okay, well, be authentic.
Yeah. It's interesting that this is where the episode has gone, because we're just talking about the nature of man. Because I'm thinking about...
And woman, Dave.
And woman. And I'm thinking about kids. And I'm just... Because I was like, yeah, kids are mean. Kids will say mean stuff. They will. That's what strikes us as adults whenever we watch kids interact, because we're like, well, adults would never say that to each other. So, oh, those kids are mean. But on the flip side, man, kids are so loving and so genuine and so affectionate. And my son, all he wants is affection, and he just wants approval and love. Like, and I can see that that's in his nature. You know what I mean? And so I want to give the other side of that coin when I talk about who we are and what our nature is. I think that I recognize whenever we watch kids interacting, we react like, oh, they're mean because they say mean stuff. On the flip side, especially with my kids, I'm like, I see what's at their core.
Well, it's just a snapshot, too. Yeah. It's observational data. If I observe kids being mean for 3 minutes fighting, and then my conclusion is that kid is mean, that's a pretty big judgment.
Well,
all you have to do is go on Twitter. Well, spend 5 minutes on Twitter, and it's a mirror of humanity.
You're right.
There's douchebags and assholes and people who are just horrible trolls of human beings. And there's just awesome cooperation and love and sharing and learning and building. It's both there. So that's my point. There's people along the continuum. So when you say to someone, be authentic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if love is truly at the core of every human being. We're animals.
Right.
Some animals might not just have that feel. You think that because that's at your core.
Well, and I think I will go back to the Viktor Frankl thing, because he got to see humanity in its barest form,
mm-hmm.
right? Stripped down to nothing, you know, often naked, right? In the most desperate situations you could ever. So, and his conclusion was, it's a choice.
All of it, of the captors and the prey.
Yeah. I love that. I want to believe that.
I'm good on I'm stuff. Good. Do you have a perfect? Yeah. Good. So some change challenges. It's been a fun conversation. Authenticity, genuine, original, some creativity, identity, true self, true selves, personal, professional. We've really covered a pretty wide gamut here. And I think people can pick up that we both believe it's important to try to reconnect with your authentic self. If you're a weirdo like me who likes to read, check out Robert Greene's book, Mastery. It is all about not just trying to master some topic or field that's of interest to you, but it's really more important about reconnecting to that self, to that authentic thing that makes you who you are, that we layer things on top of it. So my first change challenge would be to just spend 5 minutes. Take 5 minutes. No talking, no podcast listening, no. You can listen to music if you want. But I want you to think about what brought me joy as a kid and what could I focus on for long periods of time as a kid, uninterrupted. And write it down. Don't leave it in your head. You have to write it down to look at it. That's step enough. You can do what you want after that.
That's good. I like that. Mine will be go watch A Christmas Carol. And focus on the part about the ghost of Christmas past, where Scrooge gets to see himself as a young boy and reflect on the changes and the layers of stuff that have come over him and reflect on what he has become. And is it his authentic self? And then also do the same. How about this? Either or. Citizen Kane. Go watch Citizen
Kane. Or if you like the Christmas stuff, you can do the same thing, but watch a funnier version with Bill Murray. Watch Scrooged.
Scrooged.
That's what the movie's
sure.
about.
Sure. But the point is, watch those things and then reflect about your own life and think about yourself as an older individual and the changes and the layers of things that have been placed upon you. And going back to yourself and watching yourself as a child and your authentic, true, passion-filled, you know, excitement-filled, just raw self, and try to figure out, what are the layers that I've put on myself? What's dimming my light? Just do a thought experiment, and then, just like Zach said, then you get to decide what to do with it.
Fantastic. Well, you've got some, I like it, some very efficient, practical change challenges.
to help you reconnect with your true self or your authentic self or selves. And that's an important part of life. So as we say at Life Lab, experiment with life.